keep going. Let's keep going.
Now, that scripture is 1 John 1:9. You know, he is faithful and fair or just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
That's right, when we confess our
sins. And sometimes that disobedience is so slight. And you know, it pays great dividends, Barbara, when you're in a struggle, when you're in a faith battle, to go to the Lord and say, have I, because I got busy or because I made a decision when I was tired or I was, you know, I was overwhelmed with too much to do. Did I make a decision where I got off the perfect path you have for me? Mm-hmm. Now, I believe that that pays great, great dividends.
Yes. Oh, it really does.
And when you get that situation cleaned up between you and God, then that pure communication can come back. And then you don't have to live in denial. And so many people, Barbara, are living in denial and fantasy.
Well, that's
they're pretending everything's cool, man. Everything's cool. And I've seen too many of them go in with one-liners and say, why are you doing? Oh, I'm just blessed beyond belief. And now, I'm not picking on my one friend that does that, but some people do it, and it's just a glib saying. They don't have any idea what it means, mm-hmm. but because a few people say it in their church, they're around saying that.
Yes, and we cannot compromise this faith walk, Darren, and that's one thing God requires, honesty, integrity, and accountability. And he doesn't want us living in a la-la land in fantasy world because he's the God who's a just God. He's the judge. He says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. We have some people in the body of Jesus Christ that are so confused and mixed up. It's because they're calling evil good. They're calling good evil. They're substituting darkness for light. They're substituting light for darkness. They're so confused and mixed up, they don't know which end is up.
Well, I think about one church that promotes this saying in Denver. It's a large church. And if I'm doing a seminar and I say, isn't God good? And they almost on automatic recall say,
all the time.
Well, except that a lot of people that are saying that don't really believe that because it's not working in their lives. Mm-hmm. But it's like they're a trained robot to say, if the preacher says, isn't God good? And then they say, all the time. Well, if you understand that, he really is good all the time.
Yes, he is.
And I was thinking a couple days ago, God is totally good and the devil's totally bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get that straight and go with it. That'll help your faith walk if you ever get that really, really straight.
That's right. The walk of faith, Darren, also requires the test. This is so hard for most people to understand and to realize that God is our judge. He's our teacher. He is our teacher, and if he wants to test you, he's going to test you. And as he tested Abraham, he tested Moses, he tested Habakkuk, whom we were just talking about. He tested Daniel, he tested Jeremiah, Darren. He tests every faithful follower of his. Now not tempt, but he tests us.
Okay, let's talk about that word test just a minute.
Okay.
You know, I think what he's saying is I want you to build up your faith muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you take a baby and you say, well, I never want them to grow up, and this has happened, you know, parents that are accused of child cruelty, they keep the kid in the crib because they don't want him messing up the house, for example. Well, he doesn't learn his motor skills. He doesn't develop his muscles. And pretty soon, you know, he just gives up and lays down on the floor of the crib.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God doesn't want us to do that. He wants to challenge us. And he never gives us something that's more than we can handle with his help.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I won't allow you to be tempted. In other words, tested beyond that which you can bear. And he's a loving, giving Heavenly Father. And the really reason he does that is not to be mad at us, not because he's angry,
mm-hmm.
or not to bring pain to us, but to bring growth.
Yes.
If we could just know that.
He's not the tempter. In the first chapter of James, the devil is the tempter. He's the one that comes with threats and lies and accusations and brings forth illusions of grandeur for you, or that you are in a pit or something. God's tests, for instance, a test is like when Abraham was told that he was going to be the father of many, and he had to wait 25 years, Darren. That's a test. It's like I was just reading in Habakkuk 2. It says, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail, though it tarries. See, that's a test for most of us. We want it now. We are an instant society, and when God tells me I'm going to have a ministry, I want it now. The test is God's timing is perfect. It's an appointed time. You need to learn. You need to grow strong. You need to, I'll tell you, some people think ministry is so easy, but Darren, if they don't grow strong and grow muscles, the first time somebody bashes them or criticizes them, they're going to faint and fall away, just like the grass of the field.
And they do.
They do. It's hard. You know,
I think what this does is it drives us back to the Word. Now, some people, for example, I say this, and I've said this about myself, I've said it to other people, you have a choice. You can go willingly or you can go through great pain. But most of us, being so human, go through pain.
Great pain.
And the pain or the situation drives us to the throne of grace, so to speak, or drives us to the cross, and we cry out and we're screaming bloody murder, God, I need help, I need help, I need help, I'm hurting, this is more than I can bear. And he takes us back to Scripture, and he begins to discipline us. And we begin, and I think it's in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 3:20, we move from image to image and glory to glory as we begin to grow in the Lord.
Yes, we do. Praise God.
And we have to have those times when, in fact, yes. It is 2 Corinthians 3:20.
18.
You want to go back to 18. Okay.
Well, 2 Corinthians 3:18. You're in Ephesians. But that's okay.
Well, I'm in the wrong book. That might help if I get on the right page.
Yes,
is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Well, that's another.
Ephesians 3:20 is an absolutely fabulous, that he does exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. But
okay, here we are. Let me read it to you, folks. And I'm finally in the right book. You know, that's another lesson. I have to be on the right page with the Lord.
Oh, that's really a good lesson, yes.
Well, in verse 17, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Praise God. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Mm. What he wants us to do is be conformed to his image and likeness.
Yes.
And he says, now that means, son, daughter, you're going to change. There's some rough edges. There's some corners there. There's some speed bumps. There's some, potholes in the road.
Yes.
You know, we got to smooth it out for you here.
That's right. It's really true. But when you enter that time of testing, there's something good that comes from that too, Darren. And it makes you stronger and more faithful in your walk. Your walk with God will become more intimate, and he will provide for you and take care of you as he promised. So, you know, this faith brings freedom. And I have to quote Galatians 5:1. It's on the front of all of our chorus sheets. And really, it's the theme of this ministry that God has given to us. It was for freedom. And that, in chapter 5, this is right after he's talking about the bondwoman, Hagar, and the free woman, Sarah. So we're seeing that there's a transition here from the flesh that you've lived in to the faith that you're going to live in and be excited about. And you're going to see freedom like you've never seen it before. So let's quote Galatians 5:1 together. It's such a wonderful verse. And most of you know it from coming to our meetings and reading the chorus sheet. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. And do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery.
Now,
oh, it's got new meaning.
Yoke of slavery, what is that slavery talking about? It's really our flesh that it enslaves us.
Yes, and it's a downer.
And our fantasies, and sometimes our evil imaginations. And it says we need to put down the evil imaginations and those things that come against the knowledge of God. And I'll tell you, folks, you're going to have to intentionally throw those things down, or they're going to be there to continually torment you. And, you know, the devil wants you to live with an old image. You have got to have a new image. You've got to be one that's a praiser and worshiper and one that trusts God. Now, I'm going to say this to you. We're talking in this message about faith. Some of you have challenges that are like, say, at 12th grade in school, but your faith is like second grade level. Well, guess what? You're not going to get those big answers to prayer unless your faith grows. And one of the reasons God allows us to go through some of these testing times is to increase our faith in his faithfulness, in his reliability, in his love, and the fact that his word does work and he watches over it to perform it. And he never sends it out without it coming back, having performed that for which he sent it. Now, I just paraphrased two scriptures for you, Jeremiah 1:12. And Isaiah 55:11, you need to know that God is jealous of his word, and he doesn't want to have the reputation that his word fails. So he's very cautious and very concerned about his reputation, and he wants you to know that too. So God bless you. Advance the tape, and we'll be with you on side two.